So once again, I wish you all a Merry Christmas. This is a great occasion that we celebrate when, quite literally, we have a massive highway that has been given us and placed before us, leading to our God. It's a highway. It's not a side road or a dirt road. It's a massive highway. And it's not that populated, really. I mean, Jesus says it in the gospel, the road to perdition is wide and the road to life is narrow and few there are who find it. And that's this highway. I mean, if you want to avoid the crowds, stick with our Lord and get on this highway leading to our God. And you know, the church has a way of trying to reflect that for us. If you remember in Advent, we didn't sing the glory to God in the highest. That was something that was quieted, silenced. We didn't have the glory to God in the highest as we did today at the beginning of Mass. And of course, the reason for that being that that is the song sung by the angels when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They're singing glory to God in the highest. And so now the song comes back at the birth of Christ. But what that tells us is prior to the coming of Christ, what we had, and this is all in the Bible, is we have a type of spiritual cloud cover over us that is propagated by the dark spirits, the dark energies. And they place themselves above us in regions above to attempt as best as they can to trick us into believing they are God, right? I mean, that was the temptation Satan fell into before when he sinned against God. He wanted to be God. And they haven't stopped. They haven't stopped trying to convince us that's what they are. And so they place themselves above us. And there's an effect that has on us that leads us to believe this is it. They're like a cap put on a pan. It gets covered. And inside there is darkness. I mean, that's what they want us to believe, is that there's nothing above them. And the anthem of that worldview that they're trying to convince us of comes from John Lennon's pen in the song Imagine. And one of the verses of that song is, imagine there's no heavens. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. That's a worldview that is something resulting from what these lying spirits are trying to convince us of. And they're spirits, so they affect our own minds and how we think about things, see things, feel about things. And they try to get us into values that are simply related to this world. Because there is no God above us and no world above us. Well, you see, what happens at Christmas is God, who is the Most High, beyond this cloud, if you will, like if you go outside, you don't see the sun today. Well, the sun, S-O-N, comes from eternity now, the Most High, and is born among us, vanquishing, shooting a hole right through that cover on our world that tries to keep us down, that tries to keep us thinking this is it, nothing more. The Son of God breaks through that and vanquishes the air. And we have in their place these angels at the birth of Christ singing and filling that whole night with light in the spiritual order that amounts to the horizons of our whole world opening out to blue sky, to sunshine, to horizons that reach to eternity. They're not closed down like we're led to believe with the other spirits who want us to believe they are God and that there is no other. And that is refreshment for the soul. That is light from the heavens shining into our hearts. That is the eternal breaking into time and literally breaking it open. Because before the coming of Christ, Mary Magdalene, there was no hope that she would ever have a life other than the one she had as a prostitute. There was no hope of another life. When all you have is this world, you're stuck in what you are and what you've made of yourself. And Mary Magdalene, the scribes, the Pharisees, they had it right. They said it, that they weren't coming from this faith perspective. You've been a prostitute. You will be for the rest of your life, Mary. And just resign yourself to it. You are right now, so don't touch me and stay away. And the whole time she's crying on the feet of Christ, who is the eternal breaking into time with new possibilities for this woman that ended up making her, by her cooperation with his grace, a saint. Wow, that's possibilities. That's the eternal breaking into time from this cloud of these dark energies, dark spirits who want to convince us there is no God above, there's no heavens, there's no hell below. It's just us, we're your God, cap it. Pull the shades down on the sunshine. It's not there. It's all in your mind. And Jesus still comes. He comes to make a highway to our God, all the way into the eternal. So we come to the Holy Family. What do we find in the Holy Family? We find the heavens breaking down. I mean, angels visiting Joseph and saying, already the boy's life is in danger. I mean, the evils, the dark energies, they don't like that something's just shot a hole right through their cover on this world. They don't like it. And already this boy's life is in danger. And they're trying to kill him. So you got to go to Egypt. Coming from the heavens, that's light from the heavens, guiding Joseph, guiding Mary. Where are we going to live when we come back from Egypt? All that's guiding and all this is going on. They're in prayer. The eternal is breaking into time with the Holy Family. But you know what? That's not just for Mary and Joseph and Jesus. That's for all of us here. Our families are made to have access to the eternal. And in Christ they do, because we have been baptized into a relationship with the eternal, who is the most high above all gods that want to propagate themselves as gods to us. There's only one. It's Jesus. We've been baptized into him. We, in our families, can live in constant relation to the transcendent, eternal, and living God. So, Jesus and Mary and Joseph are on this trip to Jerusalem. They leave, they figure Jesus is fine, he's with the extended family. And he's not there, he stayed behind in Jerusalem. So what does Jesus, Joseph, and Mary do? Well, they were kind of thinking, as I'm guessing most of us would, if you lost your 12-year-old, I think the last place you would come is this church looking for him or her. What are they going to be doing in this church? They're not going to be there. No, they're going to be at a park or maybe playing or down at the mall. And that's what Joseph and Mary do. They go looking for 3 days, looking for this 12-year-old. Where does a 12-year-old hang out? And they finally find him, and Mary says, why did you do this to us? We have been so anxious searching for you. And of course, that tells you the anxiety you have as parents for your children is not sinful. I mean, Mary is a sinless woman. She's full of anxiety and worry for her son. Where have you been? And Jesus says, I mean, why did you even look for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? I mean, to him it should be so obvious. Well, see, What is that? That is a 12-year-old in full communion with the eternal, transcendent, and living God. And this isn't only for Jesus. He comes to baptize us so that we too have that same relationship. And this is meant not to discourage us. It's meant to revive us. That's what he came to do. He didn't come down here to just say, oh, look at all of you. You're cooperating with these dark energies. You're putting caps on your life. You're pulling the shade down on the living God. Your horizons are all dark, and you're just living as though there's only this world. And that's all I came to tell you. I mean, wow. Well, thanks for coming, but no thanks. I have no interest in that God. No, what does he do? He revives us. He heals us. He instructs us. And then he enters right into us from this altar. He doesn't just say, I want to keep a remote location from all of you like the scribes and Pharisees did with Mary Magdalene. No, Mary comes and touches his feet and cries on them, and he forgives her. Because he loves her. Because he loves us. He's come to save us. That's what a Savior does. To open the horizons, pull up the shades, let in the light, open up a highway to the living God, open up the gates for a nation to enter, one that is just, one that keeps faith in the living God. This is what he's come to do. And there are heavens above us, and there is hell below us. And he's attempting us to get us into heaven. That's what he's doing. That's what he came to do. And so when you come to, maybe, I don't know, your Christmas. I know my family has its skeletons in the closet. Two of my uncles died of alcoholism. And I'm at high risk myself for being an alcoholic with the alcoholism on both sides of my family. I'm not afraid of alcohol, but I respect that drug a lot because of the possibility, potential. I don't want to fall prey to the sins of the fathers. And there's no possibility of that without Christ in my life. I am destined to repeat the sins of the fathers that went before me. And I have no way out of it, just as Mary Magdalene didn't, without Christ. And that's what he does. He comes to make that possible. We can with him. And he comes to say, stay with me then. Come to me. I want to revive you. I want to help you. I want to heal you. I love you. I revive you in my love. I come and I open a highway to the living God for you to walk with me going up. And I give you a mother, Mary, the mother of the church, Saint Joseph, the saints, all of these angels now singing glory to God in the highest because the cap, the cover, has been vanquished that is above us. That's what he's come to do. But we do have people that are taken in by the lies. They're rearranging marriage, what it is. They're saying it's all okay, that we break the laws of God. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Because there is no God. And see, Jesus comes and declares, yeah, in fact, there is. And you're in bondage when you break my laws. You're enslaved, and I've come to free you. I've come to heal you. I've come to forgive you. So, brothers and sisters, there's really no reason for us to fear the coming of the loving, living Christ in our midst. He's the Messiah. And he's come to open up a transcendent world to us, the heavens, and the eternal living God to us that renders so many things possible that without that transcendence would not even be thinkable for us because we're all caught. It's just this world and every decision I make that forms me and makes me into something, I'm stuck with it. There's no way out. Well, I'm here to tell you the good news that the coming of Christ is your way out. Jesus is the way out. And he doesn't come pointing fingers. He comes saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary in your families and find life burdensome in your relationships with each other, and I will refresh you." And in the meantime, the bright angels of light are above us, singing, "Glory to God in the highest, peace to people of goodwill on earth." Thank you, Jesus.